Our scripture today is from Matthew 1, 18 through 25. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ took place. When Mary, his mother, was engaged to Joseph, before they were married, she became pregnant by the Holy Spirit. Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. Because he didn't want to humiliate her, he decided to call off their engagement quietly. As he was thinking about this, an angel from the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child she carries was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She gave birth to a son, and you will call him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now all of this took place so that what the Lord had spoken through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, a virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." When Joseph woke up, he did just as the angel from God commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he didn't have sexual relations with her until she gave birth to a son. Joseph called him Jesus. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
So, how many of you are going to have an absolutely perfect Christmas this year? Oh, we've got another brave person. I had one person at 8:30 raise their hand, and now one in 11. That is awesome. Well, you know the kind of perfect Christmas that I'm talking about. The tree is decorated perfectly. The 100,000 white twinkling lights on the outside of your house are perfectly placed, and there is a blow-up nativity scene in your front yard. The gifts are perfectly wrapped in matching wrapping paper underneath your perfect Christmas tree. Your children or your grandchildren make perfect photographs with Santa Claus in their perfect matching outfits. There is homemade eggnog, homemade cookies, a homemade Christmas dinner, and of course all of those things are absolutely perfect. But best of all, there is that perfect moment when the entire family gathers around the Christmas tree to sing Silent Night, Holy Night, while wearing perfectly matching Christmas sweaters. It is a perfect Hallmark card snow globe Christmas. There is only one problem. It does not exist. It never has, and it never will. But here's the thing, the cultural Christmas machine keeps churning out these images of a perfect Christmas and tries to make us buy into this idea. The shopping malls were filled to the brim on Black Friday with shoppers listening to "It's the Most Wonderful Time of the Year." Radio stations have been playing Christmas music for weeks, and I promise you, I saw Christmas decorations for sale before Labor Day weekend this year. You see, the culture wants us to believe that it has put its regularly scheduled programming on hold and replaced it with this massive inbreaking of good cheer and tidings of joy. Don't believe it. It's not true. And what's more, it's not even Christmas yet. It's the season of Advent, where those of us who follow Jesus are called to watch and to wait and to anticipate the coming of the Christ child into the world yet again. We cannot let ourselves be seduced by this image of a perfect Christmas that never existed. So this Advent, we're going to take off our rose-colored glasses and we're going to see what the real Christmas story is all about. Now, our series this year is based on a wonderful book called Awaiting the Already. And we're going to be looking at the Advent season through four different scriptures of the four different gospel writers. It's going to be one baby, four stories, and each writer brings their own unique lens of experience to the Christmas story. Now, today we jump into the Gospel of Matthew, and oh my goodness, Matthew does not sugarcoat the Advent story. He is giving us the reality show version of the birth of Jesus. Forget the Christmas lights and the inflatable nativity scenes and the photo Christmas cards. Matthew's birth story reads like a headline in one of those scandal magazines at the checkout lane in the grocery store. I mean, can't you see it now? Young peasant girl from Bethlehem claims she is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. This is no sweet little story in Matthew's gospel, not a bit. In fact, we don't hear Mary's side of the story until we get to the Gospel of Luke. But in Matthew's gospel, we do meet someone very important, someone that we often overlook. It's Joseph. And the man we meet today is a deeply traumatized Joseph who has just heard the news, the almost unbelievable news, that his fiancée Mary is now pregnant with a child that is not biologically his. He receives this announcement not with joy and gladness, but with shock and sober deliberation. I mean, who wouldn't receive that kind of news in the same way? But I think the first thing we need to do is ask ourselves, what kind of man is this Joseph? What kind of man did God choose to be the earthly father of his son? Now, our scripture tells us that Joseph is a righteous man, and that sounds pretty terrific until you look at the track record of righteous men in the Bible. Let's just take Noah and Job, who suffered despite saying and doing all of the right things. That's another reason we have to take our rose-colored glasses off this morning. We must face the fact that the righteous do suffer. There's nothing about our allegiance to God that makes us immune to heartache and disappointment in this broken and troubled world, which might make you wonder, why did we light that candle of hope this morning? But stay with this story, and you will see what I mean. Now, notice what the angel did not say to Joseph this morning. The angel doesn't say, everything's going to be fine, Joseph. No worries, no problems. We've got this. The angel does not say, I've got good news for you. Things are going to get a lot better really quickly. The angel doesn't say, Joseph, you're one lucky guy. It is the first Christmas, and it's the most wonderful time of the year. What does the angel say? The angel says what the angel always says when it speaks to human beings in the Bible. Do not be afraid. Powerful words. Do not be afraid. You see, this is not a false hope. This is a challenge to Joseph to not let external circumstances fill him with fear and disillusionment. But it's also a challenge to each one of us to not let the external circumstances of our world fill us with fear or disillusionment. We live in a broken and frightening world, but we too, like Joseph, we can choose to live without fear. Maybe that's the reason we lit a candle of hope this morning. But there's more hope to be found in the story. The angel tells Joseph that Mary will give birth to a son and that Joseph should name him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Now, we need to pay real close attention to this word Jesus. Scholars tell us that Jesus is from the Hebrew word for save. Now, this is not an adjective. This is a verb with movement and purpose and power. This baby to be, this Jesus, will save us. He will save us from sin and guilt. He will save us from destruction and death. He will save us from despair and hopelessness. This baby is the one who will save the world. No wonder we lit a candle of hope this morning. But here's the thing. Did you notice? The angel offers no proof whatsoever that what he says is true. There's no hard evidence that the baby comes from the Holy Spirit, no pregnancy test, no sonogram, no blood test to prove fatherhood. Instead of proof, there is promise. Instead of proof, there is promise. Carry through with this pregnancy, Joseph. Keep this family together, and the child that will be born will be the Savior of the world. But Joseph had to make a choice, to believe it or to walk away. And we have to make the same kind of choice today. Now, never forget, there is scandal in this story. Real scandal. Jerry Springer kind of scandal. This baby had no father. And that alone was worth the life of a woman. Joseph is just like us. He's a real person trying to find a real solution in the middle of his problems and still remain faithful to God in the process. And never forget one word from Joseph, and Mary would have been stoned to death. So when we hear that he wants to break the engagement quietly, we begin to understand the kind of man that Joseph really was. He had to be angry. He had to be bitter. He had to be deeply disappointed. But he did not allow those emotions to drive his decisions. Joseph loved Mary too much to see her hurt or be killed. But we still need to see how Joseph was transformed from a devastated fiancé to a steadfast husband and father. And the answer goes back to that difference between proof or promise, in which one you will believe. Here's the reality of this text, and it is also the core of our Christian faith. The child is of the Holy Spirit. We cannot explain that or fully understand it. We have human limits, and we need to remember those human limitations, especially when we have interaction with the divine. Now, there's nothing wrong with trying to understand the idea of a child of the Holy Spirit. The church has a doctrine, the doctrine of the virgin birth. And as an Orthodox Christian, I believe in the virgin birth, but that's not really the point of this story. The biological explanation of this baby is not the point. Here's the point. Newness and wonder and hope have been born into the world again because God's Spirit is on the move. Hear that one more time. God's Spirit is on the move. Dr. Walter Brueggemann, one of our great preacher, teachers, theologians, he reminds us that the entire biblical record is just a reflection of how God's Spirit is on the move. God is always busy making things new. And our good professor was so right. Joseph's story reminds us that God's Spirit can do anything. Create a universe, blow back the waters of a river in Egypt so slaves can be free, blow down the walls of Jericho so the people can conquer the promised land, or blow down upon discouraged disciples in the book of Acts and birth a new community called the church. That is what Joseph's story is telling us today. And that is what we have to claim for ourselves. God's Spirit is moving in this world and is creating something new and different. A baby who will change everything. This is a baby that can and will change your life if only you accept the promise. And that's the reason we lit that candle of hope. But there's something else we need to pay close attention to in our gospel passage this morning. Did you notice how Joseph received the holy message? He received it in a dream. Not when he was awake, not when he was large and in charge, but when he was relaxed and open to the power of God's word. That also means that part of our Advent preparation is to slow down occasionally, be still occasionally, and be open to the power of God's message. And God's message can come in all kinds of ways and in all kinds of places. I actually saw the hope of Advent at a Thanksgiving meal just this last Wednesday night. Here at First Alabaster, we invite folks in to have a community Thanksgiving meal with us. Now, we still make deliveries for those who cannot get out, and we also take meals to the police and fire department as an appreciation of our gratitude for what they do. But everybody else comes into our fellowship hall and sits around the table together. It was an awesome evening. There were lots of volunteers. The food was great. The decorations were beautiful. But the best part was sitting down at a table with people and getting to know them just a little bit. I spoke to one lady, and she said that she and her family didn't feel comfortable coming to church because they didn't feel like they had dress-up clothes. And I said, oh my goodness, you need to come to our contemporary worship service. They wear blue jeans and t-shirts and sweatshirts, and I swear, I think I've seen pajama pants a couple of times in there as well. There was another guy there, a young father with four very young children, and he shared that he was concerned about his ability to buy groceries for his family over the Christmas holiday. Fortunately, we had just purchased some grocery store gift cards for that very reason. But my favorite moment of the entire meal was watching one of our church members hold a beautiful baby in his lap so that mom could finish her meal. Look at that sweet, sweet face. There was hope all around us if we will only pay attention. But don't forget, there are two names in our story this morning. Jesus, the one who saves, and Emmanuel, God with us. I have a dear friend who always says, I do not want a God who will save me and leave me high and dry. I want a God who will be with me in the good, in the bad, and even in the ugly. To know that we are not alone and that God Himself is with us, oh my gosh, what hope that brings to our hearts and to our lives. And most of the time, that hope, that presence of God works through people like you and me. We recently had a church member go through some very serious surgery. I went down to the hospital on the morning of the operation, and the waiting room was packed with church people who had brought food and love and prayers and the presence of God with them. One of our college students was in a serious car accident this past week. Pastor Arthur goes down to UAB around 11 o'clock in the night, and by the time he leaves, other church members are showing up to sit with the family, to show them love and support and prayers, and to be the presence of God in our midst. There is so much hope in that knowledge, but there's more. Never forget that when this baby is born, it means that God gave up heaven for us, to become one of us so that we could understand what life is meant to be. There's so much awesome hope in that knowledge. Paul understood that hope when he wrote that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Neither life, nor death, nor angels, nor rulers, or things present or future, not powers or heights or depths or anything in creation. Emmanuel, God with us. We should be lighting a candle of hope today. But there's one more thing I want you to hear in Joseph's story. I was teaching an adult Sunday school class at a previous appointment, and my lesson was on preaching. I love teaching that lesson because I love talking about preaching, but I also love the lesson because of the discussion it generates. I don't think you guys realize it, but you are sermon experts. You listen to them all the time. So after sharing with the class my list of what made a good sermon, I invited them to share with me their list of what made a good sermon. Now, I heard all kinds of great answers, but this is the one that stuck with me, and I quote, one man said, I want to hear a sermon that will help me apply the scripture to my life. I love a good story or listening to interesting historical information, but what good are those things with no application? That was a great answer, a really great answer. And that leads us to our last question this morning. How can we apply today's passage to our own lives? How do we make Joseph's story our story? Because after all, when you look at this story, all we see is an ordinary man in an extraordinary situation. But you see, that's the point, after all. Matthew's gospel reminds us that the whole miraculous story of the Messiah's entrance into the world rests on Joseph's shoulders. If Joseph believes and obeys the angel, everything is good to go. The nativity story can continue. The entire Christmas miracle momentarily rested on Joseph, awaiting his decision to accept or reject the news of an impending Messiah and the shocking way that salvation was going to enter the world. And what happens? An ordinary man, nobody special, nobody famous, nobody particularly gifted, has the courage and the faith to say yes. Joseph says yes to the angel, yes to God, yes to Mary, and yes to an unborn child that is not his own. He opens his heart and his spirit and his home and his entire future to this invasion of the divine. Joseph says yes, knowing the whispers and the gossip will never end. He says yes, knowing his life will never be the same. Joseph says yes, and so must we. On the first Sunday of Advent, my friends, we must take off the rose-colored glasses and see Jesus' birth for what it really was. On this first Sunday, we must anticipate and prepare for Jesus, the one who comes to save us. We must wait for Emmanuel, God with us. But first, like Joseph, we must listen to the angel's message. We must open ourselves up to the divine dream, even if we don't fully understand it. But most of all, we must open our hearts and our spirits and our homes and our future to this divine invasion of hope. Like Joseph, we must say yes to God so that once again the Messiah may be born into this world and save us all. Thanks be to God. May we pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for Joseph's story because it is our story as well. He was an ordinary human being just like us, yet through the power of the Holy Spirit, he did extraordinary things. Help each of one of us be the same during this Advent season. Help us watch and wait and prepare and anticipate the coming of the Messiah once again. For it is in his most blessed name we pray. Amen.